Hey, welcome back to the Expert Witness Playbook, the podcast where we teach professionals how to build, grow, and protect a successful expert witness practice. I'm your host, Chris Woodruff. Today, we're talking about something every expert eventually asks themselves. Do I need a website? It sounds like a marketing question, but for expert witness, it's actually a credibility question, a referral question, and sometimes even a courtroom question. Some experts build thriving practices without one. Others quietly lose cases because they don't have one. Today, we're going to break down the pros and cons of expert witness websites, when you actually need one, what belongs on it, what actually it does, and how does a website for an expert witness, how's it different from a normal business website? Joining me, as always, is my brother, the hardworking, board-certified pediatric neurologist and expert witness, Dr. Brian Woodruff. How are you doing, Brian?
I am doing well. I'm excited to get back to it. It's been a little while, and it's always fun to connect back up with you, my brother.
Yeah. So these are one of those topics where do you think having the wrong website is worse than having a website at all?
Oh, absolutely. And we're going to talk more about that. It's better not to have one. The bottom line, it's better not to have one than to have a bad one.
Yeah, I agree. Let's get into it. First question, why are expert witnesses always unsure about whether they should have a website?
It's because we live in two worlds, right? We're in medicine. That's where we do our primary work. And almost every practice, hospital, whatever it is, they have a website. But also, we're doing litigation. And anything that's published can become evidence. So you have to be really careful. So experts feel this tension where you want to be findable. You want people to find you. If people don't find you, you're not getting any work. But you also want to, you don't want to look like you're advertising opinions. So the fear isn't marketing. The fear is cross-examination.
Yeah, exactly. So is having a website actually marketing for an expert witness?
No, that's a huge misunderstanding. So a normal business website is meant to persuade somebody to hire you. If you're a different kind of consultant, that kind of website is set up so that you're trying to get somebody to hire you. An expert witness website is really meant to reassure somebody that you're credible. Attorneys are not looking for a pitch. They're looking for confirmation that you're a real practicing physician that also happens to review cases. And so you really need to steer a website if you're going to have one. And not everybody needs one, but if you're going to have one, it needs to be not a marketing tool, but a credibility tool.
Exactly. So great advice. So when an attorney looks up or Googles an expert, what are they really trying to figure out?
So there are probably three questions that come to mind. Is this person legitimate? And I think, you know, the younger attorneys are going to do that Google probably more often than the more seasoned attorneys. But they're looking to see if somebody's legitimate, if they have a website, are they objective, and will a jury trust this person? I mean, really, ultimately, those are super important to an attorney. They're not evaluating your knowledge at that point. You have the credentials when they're looking, and they're looking whether hiring you creates a risk.
Yeah, good. So they're kind of doing the opposite of what you think. So when we've talked about this, you've called a website a pre-deposition. I'm curious what you mean by that.
So opposing counsel will know if you have a website or not. A good opposing counsel, when you're going into a deposition, they're going to be able to do research on you. If you have a website, they're going to look at it. They're going to study it before you meet them in deposition. They may print it, highlight it, show it to you, ask you about it under oath. So every sentence that you write, every single thing is under a spotlight. It's under a microscope. And you may have to explain that at some point to a jury. And so every single thing on that website, you need to feel comfortable showing a jury.
So less is more in some ways. Interesting. So can a doctor or a medical professional build a successful expert witness practice without a website?
Oh, it happens all the time. And it really kind of depends on a lot of factors, your network, whether or not you want to maintain a website. But certainly you can do it without a website. I've enjoyed having a website and I have maintained a website, but there are lots and lots of experts without one, and you don't have to have one.
So do you have some examples of who wouldn't need a website for their practice?
You know, if you have a small network, you're already working for them. You don't need anybody else to find you. So you've got this core business that isn't changing. That's one reason. Another reason is some people do expert work that are court appointed. They work directly for judges or court-appointed work. They're not gonna need it. And then, really, if you already have steady repeat relationships, business that you are getting, you may find it just it isn't worth the time to keep up a website.
Cool. So there's a lot of younger attorneys that are very, we'll say, digitally, have more expertise online. So do you think that they rely on websites more than older lawyers or attorneys?
From when I've asked people, yes. They like to see your website. They like to see what credentials you have. It allows them to look up people before calling you. And I think the younger generation of attorneys have less of an issue with websites because they've been immersed in it probably their whole career.
Yeah. So what does a good website do for an expert witness?
Well, it allows you to be found. It helps connect you to both plaintiff and defense attorneys equally. And it reduces uncertainty. Hire an expert is risky for a lawyer. They're spending money. A calm, professional website reassures them that you're organized, responsive, and credible.
Good. So does it bring in cases, or does other things along with the website do that?
I think it's part of everything that you do, but it's certainly, if it didn't help, nobody would do it, right? And so it's not often that the website is the one and only thing that brings in a case, from what I understand when I talk to people. But it allows people to look at you and connect more easily when they need somebody. But I have had people find me just on Google search for like pediatric neurology expert witness. I've asked them, like, how did you find me? And they said, I Googled pediatric neurology expert witness or child neurology expert witness, and I found you online. I looked at your website. I learned a lot about you, and I gave you a call. So it does work.
Yeah. So does having a website filter out, I'll say, bad cases, but maybe cases that you don't want to take on?
Well, certainly if somebody looks at my website and they can find what sorts of cases do I review? And if they're not really understanding what a pediatric neurologist does, or if you're an adult cardiologist, or if you're a physical medicine doctor, they can see what sorts of cases. They're also, so that you're not getting called about cases that you don't want to review. There are also people that they may be an internal medicine physician, but they only review nursing home cases that arise in nursing home. And so an attorney can find that out from your website, that they don't need to waste their time if they call you and it's a case about a blood pressure medication and you're an internist and you only do nursing home cases. So there are people that have this really small niche, and so it reduces phone calls for things that you don't either have expertise in or you don't want to do. Like, there are people that have expertise in a lot of areas, but they don't really want to see cases outside of the very specific niche that they're in.
Yeah, good. So what are the risks of having a website for your expert witness practice?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that, because I think that is one of the most important things that people are going to hear today is they're helpful, but there is risk involved if it's done incorrectly. Every single thing on the website is discoverable. I think I need to repeat that. Everything is discoverable. You will be asked about everything. If you sound like an advocate, you're going to be portrayed as an advocate, somebody that's biased, and that's not who you are or how you want to be portrayed.
Yeah. So have you ever seen an expert witness, their website being brought up in a deposition? You said in the beginning that it could be brought up in a deposition, but have you seen it actually done?
Oh, being somebody who's done probably 200 to 250 depositions myself, I would say the majority of depositions that I do, my website is brought up. And it's fine for me, because my website doesn't cause me problems, and it's done in a way that shows the information that I want people to see, but doesn't create sort of an advocacy sort of picture.
Yeah. So you said every word is scrutinized. So what types of words or statements should you not have on your website?
Things that can really pin you down, like absolutes, always, never, clearly, most cases, commonly caused by. You don't want to have any sort of opinions on your websites. You don't want things that are going to look like sales pitches, or where you're guaranteeing things, or that you are an advocate for a certain side, or you help people win. All of these things, you know, that's not what you're there for. As we've talked about, an expert witness is there to explain the medicine, explain what went right or went wrong, and and help the attorneys understand, the judge understand, and the jury understand. And that's all that experts need to do.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you just give me like 10 words that says the real reason to create a website. I mean, bottom line, distilled down to one statement.
I would say you want to be found. And so helping attorneys, both plaintiff and defense, reach out and find you. But when they do find you, they understand what you do and that you show that you are a credible, reliable expert witness.
Yeah. A little more than a statement, but we get the gist. Yeah. So let's dig in. Let's start digging into a website. So let's talk about what belongs on a website. So what is the minimum content that needs to be included into a website for an expert witness?
So a website can be one page, a landing page, basically an internet business.
Maybe a resume.
Yeah.
A digital resume.
But just like a business card online. And so at a minimum, you should have a professional bio, like a paragraph. Explain who you are, what you do, in a language that that an attorney can understand. You should list your board certifications in there, and what you're currently doing in your clinical practice. We talked about, for the most part, if you're going to be an expert, you need to be clinically active. And if you're going to be an expert, your clinical work is really the majority of what you do, and expert work is on the side. So you want to have your bio, you want to have your board certifications or certification, you want to describe what your clinical practice is, what types of cases that you review, and most importantly, your contact information. At a minimum, there should be your email address and your cell phone on there, or at least a way of getting a hold of you very easily. That would be a minimum of what I would put on a website.
Cool. Awesome. I think that's a good idea to start, for most people to start with. So should you list your case types on that, like maybe one page or a couple page website?
I do, and I think it's important because then people understand what types of cases you review. So you don't want to list opinions, you know, but you just list what the diagnoses or what sort of issues come up. Like on mine, if you go there, it'll say hypoxic ischemic encephalopathy, cerebral palsy, it could say brachial plexus injury, traumatic brain injury. So you list the things that you're qualified to opine on from an expert standpoint.
So unbiased statements.
Absolutely. I mean, you never put anything in their opinions or because that's not the time or the place.
So on a website, so should you put your process or other things that will convey how you work with attorneys or how you work in cases?
Yeah, you want to show that you understand the process, because this is working on cases is very different than medicine. I think it's important to tell people that you review. That you will review records, create reports when asked. That's important. Not every case needs a report, and you should only do reports when asked. We'll talk about that in a future episode. And that you are available for deposition and trial. That shows the attorney that you understand. You're going to review things. You're going to create a report if you're asked, and you're going to be available for a deposition and trial.
Yeah. So along with that, should you list your fees and your prices and your costs to share that with lawyers or attorneys?
I think that's sort of a mixed bag. I think most people don't put their fee schedule on the website. I think that's sort of a down the road, having a conversation, letting them know what your fees are probably is part of the conversation. But I don't think there's, you know, if you're being upfront and you want people to know, and maybe it can fend off, you know, inquiries that are not serious and save you time, then you can put it up there. I mean, people are going to know your fees. That's going to come up at every deposition, what your fees are. So I don't think it really creates a problem.
So let's go back to the beginning. There was something that you said, or I said, in the opening, was that an expert witness website is not like a normal business site. Like my website for me as a technologist and a software developer is very different from an expert witness site. So what are those differences?
I think it really comes down to a business website is trying to persuade somebody to do something. And an expert website should reassure the person that you are an expert, that you have qualifications, like your board certification, your bio, you've been trained, you understand the process. It should really just reassure that attorney that's looking to hire you.
Okay. Good. Sounds good. So, you know, we always try to sell ourselves, but why is that and marketing maybe not a good thing to include in your expert witness website?
Because it's inappropriate. You're opposing counsel will argue that you're a professional witness, that you're a hired gun rather than an independent physician. So I think it's just important that your website is information for people to learn more about you and so that they feel comfortable hiring you.
Yeah. And how should the your content, how should the voice or your tone that you have in your content be?
Yeah, I've seen times where it's got a very excited and tone, and that's just, I think, is inappropriate. It should have sort of this stable, restrained, neutral, sort of academic tone where because that's sort of where you need to be when you're testifying. This steady as a rock.
Gotcha. So let's jump into things that we shouldn't have in or do in our website. So what's the biggest mistakes that you've seen in other expert witnesses' websites over the years?
So I've seen times where they're promising something, you know, I promise to help you win a case, or trying to sound like you're a lawyer and have legal language. We're not lawyers. It's not what we're trained to do. You know, be yourself on the website, and avoid sort of aggressive branding. You know, I've seen times on websites where they're like, you know, first hours free, or, you know, if we've never worked before, half off on the first case. It's like, no, your time is important. That all sounds very sort of sales pitchy, and I think it comes off very strangely.
Yeah. It sounds like a billboard as you're driving down the highway.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So is there a standard of care that's safe to discuss?
Like I said before, you know, you never discuss any opinions. Opinions are for reports, depositions, and trial. Your website should have no opinions. It should just have facts in there. Because once again, anything you put on that website is fair game for cross-examination.
Yeah. Yep. So again, tell people the words that they should not use. I mean, I think we should state that again to make sure people hear it clearly.
So yeah, so I've seen it on a website before where somebody said, and this should never be on a website, I help attorneys win cases. I think we've beat that to death. And so that would be probably the worst thing you could ever put on a website.
Yeah. So what's the first step in building a website, do you think?
Just start simple. Pick a URL or pick a name that could be your own name, Brian Woodruff, MD, or mine currently is Child Neurology Expert. It's really simple. It's easy. But you want to find something and then just start simple. Start with a page, keep it factual, get the four or five key things that we talked about on there. And you know, stay away from the marketing.
Be boring, right? Be boring.
Yeah. I mean, just be steady. Be steady.
Yep.
Be informative. But don't put things on there that are going to add problems for you in the future.
Yeah. So if someone does have their own expert witness site and you would give them advice on how to kind of update it, what would you say to do?
Absolutely remove any advocacy language that sounds even remotely like you're an advocate, and any absolutes, because there are very few absolutes in life, and you don't want to already be telling somebody that this is the way it is, because either when they ask you at deposition, they're going to say, well, you said this on your website, so you believe that every time. If you answer no, then they're going to come back and say, well, so you don't believe that, then why does it say it on your website? So there's no winning in that sort of situation.
Yeah, you put yourself in a bad situation. So, well, good. So we've learned that the real purpose for these websites is really to have a lawyer find you, right?
Yeah, it's to allow an attorney to safely decide to call you.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, we're going to wrap up here. So today's takeaway was simple. An expert witness website is not sales brochure. It's not marketing. It's just part of your testimony and part of your credibility. So done right, it quietly builds credibility, attracts the appropriate cases that you want, and filters out a lot of the wrong ones before you ever get phone called or emailed by a lawyer. So done poorly could put you in a bad spot in a cross-examination or in a deposition. So if you're building an expert witness practice, a website should be clear, factual, restrained, and defensible in court. Brian, I appreciate having some time with you, and I appreciate everyone kind of giving them their time and listening. And do you want to say anything?
This is something that comes up a lot. I get asked a lot by other people, other experts about this topic. So I think I know we kind of hit on it a little bit in a prior podcast, but I thought it deserved its own time.
Yeah. So I really appreciate everyone kind of jumping in and listening to us, and we'll talk to you later. And I hope your expert witness life is going well.
Yep. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next time.